This podcast is a ministry of New Song Christian Fellowship in Louisville, Kentucky. We are led by our senior pastors, Jeff and Tracy Lamont. Today's message is titled, Jesus is the Builder, and was offered by Pastor Jeff Lamont. It was recorded on July 28, 2019. It's our prayer that God will use it to begin and reveal something new in you. God bless.
We have a little prayer time that we do before the service, and our team gathers, and the team didn't actually know where I was going this week with our Jesus Is series, and decided today we're going to talk about Jesus is the Builder. Jesus is the Builder. Well, I come into the prayer meeting this morning, and Pastor Bert was leading us out. And the first words out of his mouth, and you'll see how this is relevant here in just a minute. He says, Jesus, you're the same yesterday, today, and forever, and you want to build in us. Then we come to the worship set this morning, and the final song of the worship set that Glenn had put together was Build My Life. One of my favorite songs currently, Build My Life. There's a theme here this morning, and I want you to get a hold of it. In fact, I want us to just pray for just a moment, because I don't want you to miss something God wants to do in your heart today. Would you bow your heads and just pray with me? Father, I pray in Jesus' name for every distraction to be broken, for every bit of resistance to absolutely be quelled, Lord, for just an open heaven over your people today. Lord, I pray for revelation today. I pray for your Holy Spirit to speak into our hearts today. Lord, may this word not be about information, but may it bring revelation that leads to transformation. In Jesus' name, in our lives. Jesus, you're the builder. Have your way in each of our lives. In Jesus' name. And everybody said amen. Amen. Well, on our Jesus Is series, our theme verse has been 1 Corinthians 2, 1 and 2 from the Message. It says, you'll remember, friends, that when I first came to you, I didn't try to impress you with polished speeches and the latest philosophy. I deliberately kept it plain and simple. First Jesus and who he is, then Jesus and what he did, Jesus crucified. So every week we've been looking at a different facet of who Jesus was when he walked this earth, in hopes that you and I would just get to know him a bit better, because I absolutely believe the more you know of Jesus, the more you will absolutely fall in love with him. Amen? So this morning, I want to talk about this theme of Jesus the Builder. Jesus the Builder. Mark 6:3, it says, is this not the carpenter? Is this not the carpenter? Referring to Jesus, the son of Mary, and brother of James, Joseph, Judas, and Simon. And are not these his sisters here with us? And they were offended at him. The word carpenter in the Greek text, I love giving you Greek words because I know you love Greek words, right? Is tekton. Tekton. It's the word builder. It literally means one who uses various materials, including wood, stone, and metal, and other materials in building. It means a builder or a carpenter. A lot of times we think of Jesus only being a carpenter, only working with wood. The probability is that he worked with many different elements and did many different types of building. Now we have a tecton right here in our midst. I don't see him right now, but his name's Pastor Bert. He can build with about any kind of material you can imagine. One of the learning experiences that I've had in getting to know Pastor Bert is that he doesn't mind, you know, some good grunt labor like me. I'm not a tecton. I don't know what I'm doing when it comes to construction stuff, but he does. And I am more than glad to volunteer to be his grunt labor for whatever thing we might be constructing. And I was just thinking this morning, so as you walk out today, the floor that you're going to be walking out on, that ceramic tile, he and I had the privilege of putting that in together. I didn't have a clue what I was doing. Thank God he was a tecton and knew what he was doing. But he showed me, he was patient with me and helped me to learn how to cut that ceramic tile. It was pretty fun. As you look at this platform, this is a recent project, just at the beginning of this year. Got to expand this platform, do some carpentry work with Pastor Bert, our tecton. I'll never forget the day that he taught me how to do fiberglass. That was not one of my favorite things. Insulation. I don't know how many of you have messed with insulation, but it's not a lot of fun. Taught me how to frame walls, build walls. That was kind of neat. Learning how to measure and how to build a wall with 2x4s. Taught me how to sweat pipes. That was interesting. Something I'd never done before, some plumbing stuff. Worked on a French drain with Pastor Bert right over here. Now there's a project going on behind us, if you can see through the building, where we're putting rubber mulching around the play area. Isn't that cool? So there's a lot of stuff going on around here right now. But here's one of the things that he taught me how to do that quite honestly convinced me that I was not called to be a tecton. One day, long ago, he and I were working on a basement project, and it was thick concrete, and we were doing some plumbing work, putting in an extra bathroom. And I'll never forget when he said, "Pastor Jeff, you get to use the jackhammer." Now, I thought that sounded pretty cool until I actually got a hold of the jackhammer. And then it didn't take me long to realize, this is not my calling. It really is not my calling. I was driving down the highway the other day, and there was a road crew going, doing construction, and a guy was on the jackhammer, and I just, as I'm driving by, I'm having flashbacks to my day on the jackhammer. I'm thinking, Lord, please deliver me of this jackhammer. But it's interesting, Jesus is a builder. And he didn't build with just wood. And it's interesting because he doesn't just build things. He absolutely builds people. And I want to talk to you about that this morning. And there's every reason to believe that Jesus is still building today, just like he was for the 33 years that he walked this earth. Hebrews 13:8, one of my favorite scriptures, the theme scripture of our movement, the Four Square Movement. It says this, Jesus Christ. Why don't you read it together with me? Jesus Christ. Let's do it together. Ready? 1, 2, 3. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Man, I love that. I love that verse. The Greek word for same emphatically states that Jesus is unchangeable. The word for yesterday is the word exthos in the Greek. It depicts all time that ever was up until this present moment. The word today is the word semeron. It means today at this very moment or this current age that we're living in. And the word forever literally means into all the ages of the future. So you could translate Hebrews 13:8, just a little simple translation, could say this, Jesus Christ is exactly the same in the past, in the present, and in the future. Now, if Jesus was a builder, and there was some reason behind why God chose him to have that profession. It's interesting, a lot of the disciples were fishermen. Some were tax collectors. God didn't choose for Jesus to be a fisherman or a tax collector. He chose for him to be a tecton. Oh, there's my tecton, by the way. Give Pastor Bert a good hand. He's come in. He missed all that good stuff I said about him. God's plan was for him to be a tecton. If he was building then, do you think he might be building now? If he's the same yesterday, today, and forever, and he came and chose to be a builder, do you think he might be about building something today? Amen? Same thing with what we've been talking about in so many different facets of the Jesus Is series. We talked a couple of weeks ago that Jesus was the teacher. He taught when he was here on this earth. He was the master teacher. There's never been a greater teacher, ever, on the face of this planet than Jesus himself. If he taught then, is he still teaching now? Absolutely is. We talked about him being our shepherd. He's the shepherd, the chief shepherd over the church. If he was a shepherd then and shepherded the sheep of God's flock then, is he still shepherding people now? Absolutely. So then if he's a teacher, if he's a builder, he built then, he's building now. And I want you to see that. I want you to embrace that today. There's something God wants to do in your heart through what we're talking about today. 1 Corinthians 3:12 says, if any man build upon this foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, or stubble. I want you and I to be allowing God to build something in our lives with gold, silver, and precious, precious stones. Now, I want to just have a little fun with you here quickly this morning, and I love my little screen here. There's a lot of building mistakes out there. And some of them are kind of funny, and you can find some fun pictures on the internet. Check some of these out, would you? This is what it would be like if I was trying to be a tecton on my own and I didn't have Pastor Bert. Like building the second-story garage where, you know, you have to have a flying car to get in and out of. Or how about this? I love the way this ATM was built. I'm like, wow, how do you know to punch your number in? Can you see that in that? And this is really awesome, you know, really nice little balcony. Of course, there's no way to get out to that balcony. Now, I love this home project here. They actually cut the door to fit the toilet. So I'm not sure you have a whole lot of privacy, though, once you shut that door. And then some of these bridge engineers weren't exactly on measurement there as far as the bridge coming together. We were in Virginia this past week, and we were right at the campus of Virginia Tech and toured the campus and actually went to the memorial where 34 students lost their life at Virginia Tech. I don't know if you're remembering that or not, but one of the biggest shootings on a college campus. You know what happened right there. It's a spectacularly beautiful campus, and they're the Virginia Tech. Anybody know what the Virginia Tech mascot is? The Hokies. Yeah, thank you very much, the Hokies. Anybody know what a Hokie is? It's like this glorified turkey or something. I don't know. And you know how we have horses all around, you know, these statues of horses, because that's representative of kind of our culture. They have Hokie statues all around. And everywhere we went, we just kept seeing Hokie statues. And I walked up on a Hokie statue, and it was made out of Legos. It was about my size. I'm always impressed by Lego architecture. I don't know. I just think it's really cool. Here, by the way, is the largest. This is the Guinness World Book of Records largest ship made by Legos. Can you imagine that? Isn't that amazing? And yet, this thing's huge, and yet it's just one little block connected to another little block, connected to another little block. And Jesus wants to do something this morning in you. He wants to build something. He wants to build upon the foundation that you already have. And I want to look at it in the context of Hebrews 13:8. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. So let's start with yesterday or the past. God's the God of the past. He's the God of the present, and he's the God of the future. And let me just remind you, because you might have a bad past, maybe you did some things in the past you're not very proud of, God is always about redeeming our past. He's always about taking the mistakes and the messes and somehow transforming them into something usable, beautiful, even redemptive for his purposes. I've seen this happen in a number of people's lives. The very most painful thing of their past, God redeems it to become a point of healing in their present and future. Not just for them, but for others. And it's an amazing thing how God does this. Hebrews 11:3 says this, by faith we understand that the worlds were framed. Everybody look at that word framed. That's a building word. You're going to see a number of building words in the scripture today. They were framed by the word of God so that the things which are seen were not made of things which are visible. When God speaks, things start to take shape. Things start to be assembled. Things start to be built or constructed when God speaks. And I believe God may want to speak into some of your past today so that some of the things that have been holding on to you from your past might be released so you can move into the present and into the future that God has for you. In fact, God may want to actually redeem some of those very hurtful, difficult things in your past and bring them about in such a way that they become places of healing and blessing in your present and your future. You know, God's a master builder. Did you know that this planet that we're occupying right now, that we're sitting on, is the exact distance from the sun for you and I to have life? If it was a little bit further away from the sun, guess what the verdict would be? We'd freeze to death. If it was just a little bit closer, we'd absolutely burn up. It's the exact distance. The exact distance. God knew what he was doing. We could go through all kinds of different things like that and say, man, this was not just by accident. This was by a master planner, a master builder. But God didn't frame just the world. Psalm 139 verse 15 says this, your frame was not hidden from you when I was made or constructed, put together in secret and skillfully wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. He made you. He framed you. He didn't just create this world. He didn't just set the earth at the exact distance from the sun. He knit you together in your mother's womb. He knew you before you ever breathed your first breath. Jeremiah 29:11, another builder verse, for I know the plans. Every good builder has a plan. One of the things my tecton taught me, Pastor Burt taught me, was you always measure twice and you cut once because you want to make sure to do it according to plan. You don't want to make a mistake. Once you cut that board or whatever it is, you can't go back and add another inch to it. It has to be exact when it comes to construction. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you, not to harm you, plans to give you a future and a hope. This is a builder speaking. God has plans for you, for your life. Joseph said it really well in the Old Testament. He said, you know, you meant it, talking about his brothers, you meant it for harm, but all this that I've gone through, God meant it for good. I don't claim to understand, to know exactly how God does this. It's one of the mysteries to me, but it's also one of the things that absolutely, for me, speaks of God's greatness and God's sovereignty. He takes our messes. He takes our difficulties. He takes our struggles. And somehow he works in them and through them to bring about his good plans. I don't know how he does it, but he sure is good at it. And I've seen him do it in life after life after life. The past might hurt. It might hurt a lot. It may have been difficult and painful. But we can learn from it and we can lean into God and let him touch it and redeem it for his glory. You're surrounded today, whether you realize it or not, by what I call trophies of grace. It's one of my favorite little terms, and I use it for particular people in my life, one of whom would be Jen Hansen. She's a trophy of grace. I'm so proud of her and so blessed by her and her life. If you know her story, it was painful in the beginning. It was difficult. There was abuse and it was horrible. And yet somehow, God has touched her in those most painful places. brought healing to her and turned around and made her a healer. So that she now pours her life out in bringing what she once needed to others' lives. And I've found many of you, if you've gotten to know Jen or ever sat with her in a counseling session, so many of you have come to me and said, wow, she's so gifted and she's so anointed. It's because God redeemed her. He loves to make us trophies of grace. He loves to polish those trophies and just make them shine. God knows how to take your past and make it into something beautiful for his glory. He's the God of today or the present, and he's building today. And it's interesting to me when you start thinking about the word today. Today's just it's a significant word in Scripture. Today. It's a significant word in Scripture. Why would that be? Because let me just put it this way. The present is pregnant with possibilities. Somebody said it this way. The present is a present. It's a gift to be received. I don't know about you. I mentioned the Enneagram a week or two ago, and Tracy and I have been studying the Enneagram, learning some things about our own selves. And one of the things I learned yesterday as we were coming back, we were listening to some podcasts. I'm future-oriented. My wife happens to be past-oriented. It's interesting. I have a tendency, I can find myself living in the future and missing the present. I have to be intentional to slow down and enjoy the present moment. To hear somebody in the present moment and not be thinking about the things I want to do later today or tomorrow or next week or next month or next year. How many of you ever struggle with that? Just being fully present in the present moment. But God's a God of today. There's things he wants to do today that if you miss them, you might just miss something really, really important in your life. Let me show you a little bit of this in Scripture. And Jesus said to him, today, salvation has come to this house. Salvation could come to your house today. Breakthrough could come to your house today. Healing could come to your house today. 2 Corinthians 6:2, for God says, at just the right time, I heard you. On the day of salvation, I helped you. Indeed, the right time is now. Everybody say now. Today is the day of salvation. Today, to do some things today in you. God is a God of today. He's here right now. He's here today in this present moment. You go back to the Old Testament, it's very interesting how when God's communicating to the Israelites and to his people, how he just, his heart is so much for them to meet him in the present, to meet him in the moment. There's an urgency, there's a sense of, please, my children, don't put it off. Today, if you'll hear me, today, if you'll obey me, today, let me show it a little bit to you. Deuteronomy is full of references to today. Deuteronomy 11, even, this chapter is just full of God's heart that his children would hear and listen and obey today. Deuteronomy 11:2, know today that I do not speak to your children. He's saying to them, I'm not speaking to your children, I'm speaking to you. Today, verse 8, therefore you shall keep every commandment which I command you today. Verse 13, and it shall be that if you earnestly obey my commandments which I command you, say it with me, today. Verse 26 through 28, behold, I set before you today a blessing and a curse. The blessing, if you obey the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you today, and the curse, if you do not obey the commandments of the Lord your God, but turn aside from the way which I command you today. And you shall be careful to observe all the statutes and judgments which I set before you today. Let me just stop and ask a question real quick. Is your obedience to God up to date? Is your obedience to God up to date? Somebody once put it this way, and it convicts me greatly, that delayed obedience is disobedience. When God's speaking, really the only reasonable reply we have is yes, Lord, here I am. Send me. Yes, God. I want to be obedient. Yes, God, right now. In our academy, we had a precious lady come one time, and she was teaching our teachers, and she talked about the number written on a child's head, and on the teacher's head. Okay, thank you, honey. She's straightening me out up here today, right now, in this present moment. Thank you, honey. I'm getting convicted. So it's the number on the teacher's head. So I never heard this concept before, and I found it pretty interesting that every teacher had a number, and that number was how many times would they have to repeat themselves to the child before they truly expected the child to obey. Some of them had big numbers up there, you know, 8, 10 times. Going to keep repeating, keep repeating, keep repeating. And then after 8 times, going to blow your fuse and make them do what you've asked them to do. I think God really, he's got that number one. He wants to speak to us and he wants us to be obedient. Amen? In the present, right now, not delayed, as he's speaking. God may speak to you today. He's a God of today. I guess I would ask you, are you going to obey him today as he speaks to you? He wants to do some special things. Let me show you one more verse, and this is a powerful one. This is from Deuteronomy also. Deuteronomy 26, today you've proclaimed the Lord to be your God and that you will walk in his ways and keep his statutes, his commandments, and his judgments, and that you will obey his voice. There it is. Now look at the next verse. Because if we do our part, God's always faithful to do his part. Also today, the Lord has proclaimed you to be a special people, just as he promised you that you should keep all of his commandments. In other words, that verse is saying, because you said yes today, God's going to say yes today. Because you were obedient today, God's going to bring blessing today. Because you are doing your part today, God's going to do his part today, every day. I don't know if you look at every day this way, but you certainly should. Every day is an opportunity to hear from God. Every day is an opportunity to receive from God. Every day is an opportunity for God to do him today. Walk with him every day. Listen to his voice today. Today is pregnant with possibilities. I wear these bracelets on my wrist. I have for quite some time now, and both of them say the same thing, pray first. Just a reminder to me, in the present moment, when things come my way, when challenges come, even when opportunities come, pray first. First thing I need to do is to pray. I need to seek the Lord. I need to listen to his voice. And then number three is forever. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And forever means the future. Matthew 16, 18, I will build my church and all the powers of hell will not conquer it. You know, 20 years ago, back in the early 90s, have you noticed how the world is changing so rapidly? Changing dramatically. Back in the early 90s, less than 5% of the world's population was on the internet. Wi-Fi and broadband didn't even exist. How many of you go back this far? We watched movies at home on a VHS, and we went to a store to rent them. Remember that experience? There were certain areas of the store you wanted to stay out of, you know. 95% of all music sold was on CD. And get this, if you wanted to go somewhere, you used a paper map to plot your course. We were encouraging Zach this past week. Print out a paper map, Zach, because when you get into the hicks and the hollers of Eastern Kentucky, your good old GPS may not work. It'll just go out, and then you'll be lost and eaten by a bear. We didn't want that to happen to Zach or the kids, so print out a paper map. World's changing. But the good thing about Hebrews 13:8 is that Jesus never changes. The whole thrust, the whole principle that's communicated through Hebrews 13:8, Jesus is the same yesterday and today. That's a commonly used thing in Scripture, and it denotes continuity. Jesus is the same yesterday and today and forever. He's continuous. He's unchanging. Doesn't matter how much the world around us changes. We have a rock that is steadfast and solid. Amen? So Jesus says he's going to build his church. It's another builder verse. Jesus is the one to build his church. People have often asked me at times, Pastor Jeff, I love New Song. I love the people. I'm surprised that the church isn't huge and blowing up, and I just say, well, I don't know. We're being obedient to what God's called us to do, and I've prayed through, and you know what? It's for me, it's not about building a big church. Maybe it is for some. I know that a lot of folks, they adopt business principles, and they adopt the whole idea of excellence, which becomes quickly perfection, and they do things according to a business plan, and yeah, they draw a big crowd, and I'm blessed by that. I pray for that and think there's a place for that, but we're being obedient. And long ago, I've just allowed the Lord to rinse my heart, and whatever his grace is upon this body, whatever his plan is for this body. I don't look at our church and go, wow, we should be so much bigger. I look at our church and go, you know what? We're being obedient to the Lord. And we're going to continue to be faithful and obedient and let him bring blessing and let him bring growth. It's not always just about numbers or size. It's about vision and impact and mission and heart. Jesus is still building. He's building through his people. Let me show you another verse. 1 Peter 2:5. You also, as living stones, are being built up to a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. One of the things that I love to say is that I'm not into building a big church. I'm into building big people. Because I really do think that's God's heart. Did you notice? You are being built up. The church isn't brick and mortar and carpet and seats. It's people. It's people that God wants to build. All that God wants you to be in him. I want to see you find your places of service, your places of outreach, your impact in this world, how God wants to use you. I'm committed to that. I'm praying for that. I'm believing for that. For me, that's something to give a life to see others become who God has called them to be, the big people that he desires for them to be. You're the church. You're the living stones. But here's the challenge. If you don't do what he's calling you to do, you'll press pause on the building process. And it's not just for you, by the way, that he wants to build something. He wants to build something in your life that'll be a testimony and a testament to your children and to your children's children. Whatever you do, don't press the pause button. Press the play button and say, God, do what you want to do in me. Build onto my life. Show me how I can make a greater difference. Show me the things you're calling me to. Help me to begin to serve. Help me to begin to give. Help me to begin to make a difference wherever I am and in whatever way you want to use my life. I'm going to ask you to close your eyes, bow your heads for a moment. Worship team, would you guys come back? And ministry team, would you guys come forward, please? And as we close today, perhaps you need to start by inviting Jesus into your heart and your life today. I want to give you that opportunity and that chance. If you're here today and you've never made truly that commitment to receive Christ as Lord of your life, I want to give you that opportunity today. Right where you are, with your head bowed, your eyes closed, everybody's heads are bowed, eyes are closed, they're not looking around at you, don't worry about that. But right now, you have an audience with God, and you can just say to him, if you'd pray with me, and say, "Dear God, I need you in my life. I've tried to do it my way, and honestly, I've made a mess of it. Jesus, come into my life. Forgive me of my sins and my failures and my mess ups. Redeem my past. Move and work in my present, and give me the future that you have for me. I receive you right now into my life." If that's you, with every head bowed, every eye closed, would you just raise your hand? Just want to look across the congregation today. Praise God. Praise God. God's got good things ahead for you. He really does. For the rest of us, there's something God wants to build in you. I know this is for some of you specifically. Lord, would you do in each of our hearts what only you can do? Speak to us, Holy Spirit. There's something you want to build through many of your people here today, God. Show them what that is. And continue to do your good work in them and through them in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you stand with me? We're going to worship together.